Thank you, everyone, for joining me on today's episode of the Simply Financial Podcast. This is episode number 48 of our fourth season, and I'm your host, Christopher Calandra.
Stick around to get your small business unstuck. More of Small Business Radio with Barry Moltz, now on WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk.
One of the biggest issues that small businesses face is that they don't fully understand their financial statements. In fact, many of them never even look at them monthly. Unfortunately, they're missing key data to manage their company, especially during the tight cash flow times that crises like COVID bring. My next guest is Christopher Calandra, who's the founder and principal of Elliott Wealth Management Services, with over 26 years of experience helping entrepreneurs, retirees, families achieve their financial goals and objectives. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Barry. This is one of my favorite topics because I love small business owners. I love entrepreneurs. I am one, and I know you are too. So it's going to be great to talk about a few things today.
So I would ask the question, why don't more entrepreneurs look at the financial statements? But when I was an entrepreneur, I didn't look at them until I sold my company and lost $1 million off the price of the company because I didn't understand the balance sheet. But in your mind, why don't more people take a look at it? Is it just because they're confusing, don't have the time, they feel bad about it?
I think it's a combination of factors, of course. But one of them is when you open up a business, you know, there's something you're passionate about, that you're trying to serve a need, and you want to fill that need. And you may not get around to the financial part because you're so enthused about your technical craft. I think that's number one. And I think, secondly, a lot of people, this is not an area that they're necessarily very comfortable in. And so it's something that they will shy away from because it's not an area that they have a lot of experience in and confidence in. But as you just described with your personal experience, they do that to possibly their own detriment. It's a dangerous thing not to pay attention to the numbers and track their progress.
So what's the solution here, Chris? Because I think a lot of times these people try to go to their accountants, but the accountants just make it more complicated because one of their competitive advantages, they figure, well, if the business don't understand this, then they need me.
Yes, I think having a team of advisors, because it's not, if you're going to build a successful business, you can't do it by yourself. You need a lot of different areas of help along the way. And I think one of them is, you know, having perhaps a business coach, having a CPA that doesn't only prepare your taxes, but also helps educate you and give advice on tax strategy. I'm a certified financial planner. I think a certified financial planner is a key part of the team, helping you accumulate wealth and making smart financial decisions. And the owner has to take some responsibility if it's an area of weakness. Either they have to educate themselves on a do-it-yourself basis, and there's lots of resources, including your superb show, or bring some people into their lives that could help make things easier for them to make informed decisions. So I think building a team is a key attribute. I'm a financial geek. You know, I'm a numbers guy. Yet I still have people on my team that help me have my personal life be successful financially, as well as my business thrive. And I'm a financial geek, but I have other areas I'm going to need some help on. And I think that's what business owners should do.
So in your mind, during this time of COVID, where a lot of small business owners are struggling, certainly cash flow slows down, what financial levers should the small business owners be looking at to make sure that they have the information they need to make the right decisions for their business?
Yeah, that's a good question. Every business and industry is different. I think knowing your industry, what the important metrics are, you know, in my business, there are certain key metrics. If I'm looking to buy a business or sell a business, or if I'm looking for financing through a bank, you know, there are some key metrics that, in some ways are common to other industries, Barry, but in other ways are unique to my industry. I think a business owner and a business coach is really good at helping them identify and track this. But having an awareness of what those metrics are is really important. And it's not just for the buying and selling of a business, but to understand how your business is performing. And if you have inventory, you know, that's a key part. If you have a business like mine that's service oriented, there are other things that you would want to track. So knowing the performance, the key performance metrics of your business and industry, and that means that by just checking 6, 8, 10 of these key metrics, you could easily keep a pulse on the major attributes of how successful your business is currently, as well as the direction it's going in.
And so I assume for every business, a lot of these key metrics are going to be in the financial statements, right? The profit and loss statement or the cash flow statement, but some of them won't be, right?
Yeah, some of them won't be. I know for my business, as an example, I mean, I want to help clients make smart financial decisions and achieve financial wealth. But, you know, my business is a for-profit enterprise. And, you know, a metric that's important is the revenue per client relationship. And so that's not something that would show up in a profit and loss statement or a cash flow analysis or even in the profit number. But that's a key metric, because if we're going to take on a client, and this is true for any business, Barry, if you're going to take on a client relationship, you know, one of the things is you want that client to be add revenue and add value to the business, as well as you hoping that you could serve and satisfy the client's needs. But that's an example of revenue per client. And there's other versions of this, of course, the lifetime value of a client. You know, those things won't necessarily show up directly as a line item in many of the formal financial documents, but they fall under what I describe as the key performance metrics I spoke about a moment ago.
Yeah, some of those other ones are perhaps the cost of acquisition of a client, you have inventory, how quickly inventory turns. So in your mind, when you look at, let's say, a profit and loss statement, for example, what are the key things you think a small business owner needs to take into account?
I think first, it's exactly what we spoke about, is don't shy away from it. Learn and take time to not work in your business, but to work on your business. And that means looking at your profit and loss statement with some regularity and talk with others about the profit and loss statement, whether it's internal employees and teammates, a partner, business partner, could be a spouse, could be a CPA, business coach. But I think just the exercise of paying attention to it, if you do that regularly, you don't have to look at the P&L every day, Barry, but by doing it routinely, let's say every quarter or every 6 months, you will figure out, I think, just by paying attention what's happening in the business and have a good pulse on things. Of course, you want to look at top line. You want to look as, you know, are we bringing in more revenue? But there's somewhat of a danger in that, because if you're bringing in a lot of revenue, but it's not making its way to the bottom line.
Right, exactly.
Which is the profit. But you want to look at top line growth, top line revenue. You want to look at profits. And in the middle, you want to look at what your expenses are. And, you know, there's the old adage, you've probably heard this, where, you know, my cousin Vinny was struggling in business because he was losing money on every suit he sold. But his conclusion was, if he could just sell more suits, he'd be okay.
Right, exactly.
And so, but I think to your question, I think first and foremost is, you know, what you track and pay attention to is going to be what ends up being important. And this is important. So look at your profit and loss statement, review it, discuss it with one or more other people. And if you do that routinely, and you're not talking hours and hours of work for most small businesses that are not overly complex, you're going to get a lot of value out of it, because you'll see how the different parts of your business numerically work, the expenses related to the bottom line. You know, did you get growth? But it came at the expense of profit margins. It's all be laid out, and it's not that complicated. I mean, I'm a geek. I assume you're a geek too. Barry, in terms of numbers. But, you know, you don't have to be a geek like you and I and have an MBA from Harvard to sort this stuff out. You do have to spend a little bit of time.
You know, what's interesting to me is I try to get small business owners to understand that cash in their business is more important than sales or profit, and try to get them to look at the cash flow statement to understand what the changes in accounts payable and receivables inventory has been. But I guess my goal, Chris, is that people would just look at, as I call it, the poor cash flow man's cash flow statement. Look at your cash balance at the beginning of the month. Look at your cash flow balance at the end of the month. Do you have more or less cash at the end of the month than you did at the beginning of the month? That's, to me, an essential thing.
It is essential. And you know, we're talking about small businesses, but this is true on the personal finance side, too. You know, a positive cash flow leads to success and happiness and peace and all kinds of other good adjectives. So, you know, cash flow is very important. And having good cash flow, having money in an emergency fund or an operating account, maybe combined with lines of credit, you need your business to be resilient. And this year is good evidence of that, with the pandemic causing lots of trouble, lots of obstacles for all kinds of different reasons. You want your business to be resilient. Because if you have an interruption, if you have a problem like we've experienced with COVID, kind of an unprecedented modern day situation, if you have good cash flow and you have your financial house in order and you haven't been on the edge of financial stability, you could probably have made it through this year's difficulties much better than if you didn't build in resiliency. And that resiliency is cash flow and reserves.
So one of the last questions I really wanted to ask you was this idea around debt, because I think during difficult times, a lot of small business owners are taking on a little more debt. When is it appropriate and when should they be careful, Chris?
Oh, I love this question because I find this to be such a fascinating topic. I describe debt as it's a tool, but it's a tool that you need to be careful with. And I find that in the marketplace, there's some people that, you know, are too strict on not wanting to take on debt. I think that's problematic. And then there are other people that are way too casual about taking on debt and not aware of the risks of leverage. So I think being careful with debt is the key thing. But debt, especially today, with interest rates at historic lows, we're essentially in a zero interest rate environment, using debt to build your business or sustain your business through a difficult episode is wise. It's smart. Most businesses that are successful over time are going to use debt. You have to balance, though. You don't want to be too easygoing about it, because we talked about resiliency in your business. A business that's overleveraged and runs into some type of difficulty, competitive pressures, health issues for a key employee, a pandemic, an economic slowdown, what have you, you know, that debt has to get paid, and it could be a significant strain on finances. So I think that's good. I've used debt in building my practice, and it's worked out very well, but I'm also judicious and careful with it. And it goes back to what we said with understanding your finances. So you see how debt and the debt service, the monthly payment, affects the performance numbers in your business. So it kind of all ties together in our discussion, which I think makes it a good one. And hopefully your listeners have gotten some good value out of this quick conversation.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because you got to make sure, what are you actually using the debt for? So Chris, thanks for joining the show. Where can people learn more about how you help small business owners?
Yeah, so I have a podcast, the Simply Financial Podcast. Actually, you were a great guest on the
Thank
show
you.
Recently. And then my firm has a website, of course, ElliottWealth.com. Elliot has two L's and two T's. You could check out more information about me and my team, how we help our clients win with money. So check out the podcast and the website, please.
Thanks so much for joining this show. And I want to thank everyone for joining us for this week's radio program. I want to thank our sponsors, the Hanover Insurance Group and eFile for Biz, the easiest way to process, print, mail, and file your 1099s and W-2s for your business. Go to www.efileforbiz.com. And I want to thank our incredible staff who make it work while I'm recording at home and not in the radio studio. Our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Lady B, that makes this sound so much better than what I'm recording right now. Our marketing manager, Courtney Gilchrist. If you're serious about being more successful in the COVID corona environment, give me a call, 773-837-8250, or email me at barry@moltz.com. Remember, love everyone, trust a few, power your own canoe, and don't forget to wash your hands a couple dozen times today. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry Moltz on the web at barrymoltz.com or more episodes of Small Business Radio at smallbizradioshow.com.
The views expressed are not necessarily the opinion of Sage Point Financial Incorporated and should not be construed directly or indirectly as an offer to buy or sell any securities mentioned herein. Investing is subject to risks, including loss of principal invested. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. No strategy can assure a profit nor protect against loss. Please note that individual situations can vary. Therefore, the information should be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Please note, the information being provided is strictly as a courtesy. When you link to any of the websites provided here, you are leaving this website. We make no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information provided at these websites, nor is the company liable for any direct or indirect technical or system issues or any consequences arising out of your access to your use of third-party technologies, websites, information, and programs made available through this website. When you access one of these websites, you are leaving our website and assume total responsibility and risk for your use of the websites you are linking to. Securities and advisory services are offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC, insurance services offered through Elliott Wealth Management, LLC, not affiliated with Sage Point Financial.